A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Poodle just said, let me get these nuts out of my mouth because he's eating a snack. And sadly, I know that
I don't like to eat on air or on camera. And I'm embarrassed.
This is not the first time he's ever said that to someone.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love. Do, 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 do. Exciting and new. Woo. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
Okay, please talk. I don't like to make mouth sounds.
Oh, okay. Well, I can keep talking. You press record. He got excited. Y'all, welcome to Reality Gaze.
Welcome to Reality Gaze.
Hey, we're going to apologize on our part one of this episode. Y'all, we're doing the best we can, and sometimes that's not good enough, and it wasn't. So we faltered. We had a little bit of a bad sound issue. We apologize for that.
It was with your sound, but that's okay.
I think it was, yeah. So we're...
It was probably the two chipmunks that normally run the Ardmore or Long Grove internet. One of them got drunk and passed out and had to go home to his wife.
Bright Oak. It's Bright Oak internet, and it's horrible. It's brightoak.net. It's not even .com.
You just sounded really hollow, even more hollow than you normally do. So
exactly. So anyway, that is,
we apologize.
We're working on that. And sometimes it happens, though. It won't get fixed until we have a producer named Leah, who is questioning her sexuality and just likes to be around us and yells at us for not talking into the mic.
I'd love that.
I would love that. If your name's Leah and you want to produce our show, come at us.
We won't pay you,
but come at us.
I think we have to pay a producer. I think that's part of it.
That's why we don't have one. So there you go.
I still got lots of bills. Okay.
We still got lots of bills. So got to pay off that. Sweet. Okay, everybody. So that's going
on.
We
have any announcements? This is part two of episodes or season 8, episode 9, the No Bang Theory.
The No Bang. Oh, it's like Big Bang Theory. That's funny.
It's not funny when you explain it.
Well,
everyone else got the joke before you did.
My dad loves the Big Bang Theory, y'all.
People do.
Loves like, it.
No, people who aren't nerds love that show.
Yeah, I like Young Sheldon a lot. So, okay, by the way, so I just hooked up Netflix for my dad on his TV. This is a new thing for him. And he said, I was kind of working today, and I'm trying to, like, he had a new chemo today, so I'm kind of staying by him, so make sure he doesn't have the reaction again.
Quote, chemo.
Fake chemo.
What did you do for 5 hours while your dad was in chemo? Maybe got a massage?
No, because of COVID. I can't do that here. So there are no any male masseuse too in Oklahoma. They're all women.
Massage therapists. We don't say masseuse.
Well, what it sounds fancier when you say masseuse, but
it's
sure,
just
I won't.
An outdated term. They well, go to so, school for it.
No, they do go to. They go to school a lot for it. So my father, he said, "Well, Matt, let's just watch that show. That looks good. It's about football." We started watching that show, All American, on the CW. Have you ever seen an episode of that show?
I've never seen it. I've seen it occasionally, but I can imagine that would be a show you enjoy.
Poodle. You. It is just Sean Cody models walking around shirtless playing football.
Oh, I'm sure.
There's literally like there's the scene where the main character is taking a shower and they're just close to focused up on his abs. I mean, it's Greg Berlanti. He's a big queen.
Are they like fucking around with each other?
Not yet.
I'm not interested.
There better be. But that show, y'all, if your teenage daughter is watching or your gay teenage son or child is watching All American, they're finger banging themselves. I just want you to know they're having a sexual awakening to this show.
I'm kind
and
of
let
done.
Them have it.
I'm done with shows like that because like Teen Wolf like just let us on for so long
but
without
what,
any. It was
that's
just
what teen
such,
shows do.
Like, gay baiting.
But that's what you want for a teenager. It isn't until you get older like this, us that you've had the hope and dreams fucked out of you. And so you just need to feel something.
But even a show like Dawson's Creek showed us a little bit of that with like gay relationships, even though they were just like, even though they were Jack and his boyfriend Toby were just like basically lesbian lovers who held each other tight. At least they went there.
At least they went there.
Dawson's Creek being rebooted.
Oh.
I don't want to wait for a life.
Wait,
to
rebooted
over.
Meaning with
I
new.
No, by now, what will it be?
Wait, so is it
I
being
saw her at Lilith Fair with her hairy armpits and all, and everyone was like, "Oh my God, look at Paula Cole's armpits!" And now, if I saw her now, I'm like, "You get on with yourself, girl."
Wow, I bet you did mushrooms that night or something.
I smoked a lot of weed. I went to Lilith Fair twice.
Yeah, I know you did.
I think I might have been the only male who went twice. A lot of men were brought by their girlfriends, but I went twice. Oh, Melissa Etheridge was so good.
She's
Lisa
great.
Loeb was great. Jules Sobule.
Wait, hold on. I'm still into this. Dawson's Creek. Are they rebooting it with the old people or a
no,
new cast?
No, new cast, I believe. No.
Boring.
No, none of the old cast. You think Michelle Williams would sign on to do Dawson's Creek?
She's a huge film star now. She would not do that.
Katie Holmes has got her Scientology settlement money.
That would be the weirdest.
That is a ridiculous. Even James Vanderbeek wouldn't do it.
He moved to Austin. That's a weird.
Busy Phillips is making tons of money doing what she does now.
She was on Dawson's Creek?
Yes. Did you never watch the show?
We didn't get that channel yet because it was Demon Channel. We didn't get it.
But you got the Disney Channel, which in other ways was more subversive. It's very interesting.
Well,
looks like you didn't get the CW.
Oh, the WB at the time. Oh, no. No. But I sat by Busy Phillips at a dinner once. She's friends
Casey.
With my friend Dawn.
Oh, Casey. Oh, God. Joshua. Yeah, Joshua Jackson. Oh, my God. We all had a thing for Pacey.
Maybe we did. No, we didn't, because I would have watched Smallville, and I couldn't have watched Smallville. You know I would have loved that. So,
yeah, you would have.
Yeah, I would have.
Somebody save me. That was the theme.
Michael Rosenbaum, he has a good podcast, Inside of You.
That's the name?
Yeah, it's Michael Rosenbaum's Inside of You, and so he interviews all these different people. He has.
Ooh.
He's done a couple episodes with Tom Welling. I listened to one. It's pretty good. So, you know
he
what?
He bring up his head.
Will you bring up this nostalgia? Y'all, I have a superpower that I don't want and I didn't know of. But apparently, when I mention celebrities on
the fuck out of me.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at that. When I mention celebrities on our show.
Oh, they die?
I kill them. Because y'all, Dustin Diamond passed away today.
And you 44. Mentioned him last week or two ago.
Yeah, and you dismissed it and said you didn't want to talk about him. I guess you still don't.
Don't shame me. You know, I think it is very sad. He was young to die. I do think the people who are posting things like, no, this one hurts, it's a little much. Did Screech really bother you? Were you that endured to Screech?
You know what? It actually did make me quite sad.
Or was
sad.
It part of your childhood?
Yes, that's why. Okay. It made me quite sad because he was they were Saved by the Bell for me. I don't know if it was for you. And I know when we talk about that you're 50 years old and I'm 30, but
we're serious, 18 months apart.
It's only 18 months. However,
I watched it.
I was right, even just me being a year and a half behind, I was right in that age where Saved by the Bell was, for me, in like two or three grades under, was life. Like it kind of overtook everything in our school.
I don't want to minimize what happened to him. I'm just saying, every time a celebrity dies, there's this grief porn that happens.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We all have to mourn at the well of grief. And like, even when Hervé Villechaize, you know, de plane from Fantasy Island, everyone was like, oh, gone too soon. And it was kind of like, okay, let's all evaluate these on a case by case basis. And
okay, you just reminded me of somebody like, you're the dying council. So when someone dies, that's how judgmental you sound.
Are you worthy of public mourning?
I think people can do whatever the fuck they want.
You know what? I think you're right. I shouldn't have said that he's not worthy of that. I'm saying just the response of people on the internet has been like it. Now, the saddest thing is it was very quickly. It happened very
well.
Quickly.
When I looked and saw what type of cancer he had like a month ago, I was like, yeah.
I mean, you guys, if you ever want to feel bad about yourself. If you ever want to feel good about yourself, just die. People are going to say the nicest possible thing.
Please, anyone out there who is considering suicide or feels a little, please do not die. Please don't die. I love you. Poodle loves you.
Anyone to commit suicide. I'm saying, though, if you're now, just know that if you now actually
if you want, but now stage your own death. Now you can stage your own death. People might not talk to you afterwards, but then you can see who loves you.
But especially a really tragic death, like of a disease or something. Oh my God, you're going to be so beloved.
We're going to get letters for this. We need to move on.
I'm just saying there is a culture of grief porn that feels like we have to say something.
I agree.
I think it's terrible too. I wish we could get out of the mold of saying, oh, this one hurts, or, oh, this is going to be really terrible. Because I sometimes wonder if we actually mean it.
I don't know. I don't know. I can understand why you think that, but it's not, I don't feel like, I don't want to.
I think a lot of their grief is about, their mourning is much more about their memories of them, which I guess is okay.
I think it's a personal thing. So yeah, so if people are hurting, sure, it's what they need. But I was more affected by this than I thought I would be, because you know you kind of think of Dustin Diamond, but that was like
him as a clown.
But that's what he was in the show. So anyway, it was
porn he made.
They sold.
Not to speak ill of the dead, but
so I actually, yeah, I was very. Anyway,
I completely wet blanketed your thing. I'm sorry. I was trying to say an honest feeling because I feel like there's a lot of grief porn going on.
I understand that, but it doesn't bother me. So if it doesn't hurt me or affect me, I don't care. Like if that's how people want to grieve, then they can grieve that way. That's their process.
But I'm saying that's not actual. It is cultural peer pressure to do it. That's what I'm saying. I'm bringing up a topic that's in the ether.
Yeah.
And everyone feels, because someone died, everyone feels obliged to type, oh my God, that is sad. because death is the ultimate thing we cannot argue with.
One, I think we want to feel less alone in that. So when people co-opt other people's griefs, it's because maybe they are wanting to connect.
I agree. I'm just saying, if Jared from Subway passed,
well, he was a pedophile. So
I
that's,
know that, but that's a bad example. But if when Where's the Beef lady died, was there the amount of grief porn?
Was I there? I think we were still on MySpace when that happened, or maybe even just like
no, you bring up a good point because the social media has. We can string out grief for as long as we want to. We can indulge into it for our own personal reasons, and that is fine. That's what grief is for. However, I think a lot of it is performative, and I'm just going to say that.
I wonder if social media has helped grief or not, like helped people connect with grief or and process that, or made it worse. Because you think of a lot of culture, even. People aren't allowed to experience grief. Or,
right.
Well, I mean, so I wonder if seeing other people when Prince died?
Yeah. That was a huge deal. Because talk about someone who was like beloved by as far as a musician and such an icon. And I kind of understand. I'm not saying Dustin Diamond isn't to that level. I'm saying what I've seen on social media today is kind of like taking someone who we wouldn't have thought twice about yesterday, and because they are dead, this kind of grief porn. Does that make sense?
Yes, but I would respond to, I felt way more affected by Dustin Diamond's death than Prince. Because Prince, I'm
what?
So I think, yeah, I think
that's fully acceptable.
Because I think what you're doing, to be honest,
come for Maddie. Come for Maddie.
Well, no, I think what you're doing a little bit is you're putting a judgment on other people's grief and what they.
No, I'm actually not.
Well, no, but I mean, because with Dustin Diamond, he is a part of my childhood. I saw him. I watched him every day in a rerun, like. He was this clown that made me laugh. He was this, and probably as a little queer kid watching this, he was friends with the hot guy, who was nice to him and didn't bully him didn't pick on him. So, but to be honest,
they did pick on him though.
But they were friends.
Okay. I understand what you're saying.
But Prince was never like, I knew Prince's music. I never dove into Prince's music. I knew it, and it was sad that he passed away from me. But if I'm looking at it, Dustin Diamond was more impactful in my life than Prince on a day-to-day basis. But I think that's
okay.
My...
that's your truth. That's your truth.
But I think that's what... Who are you to say what's important for people to grieve about? I don't think you are. I don't think anyone is.
I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying that people... that what I'm seeing on Twitter today is everyone gushing over someone they had not thought about. That's what I'm saying. Because they passed. You have a connection to it. Great.
Somebody's screaming, move on.
I know, but I'm saying grief porn is a thing.
Oh, that I totally agree with. I 100% agree with that.
And I'm saying if this had been, God forbid, Zach Morris, you know, very different, I think.
Well, I think it's like, you know, it's but Dustin Diamond was associated in the world of that. It's almost more of a, not just him, it's the world of Saved by the Bell.
I agree with you.
It would be like if, what's her name, who's the president of SAG, died. She wouldn't have
Gabrielle Carteris.
She wouldn't have the same reaction as when Luke Perry died, but people would still go, man, that's like somebody in 90210 who was like a part of my world, a part of this thing that meant so much to me.
I'm
just curious. Maybe it's wrapped up in that. Who gives a shit?
No. I think this is a good topic to talk about. I'm saying that whenever we grieve publicly, it's good to think about why we're doing it and that we're not doing it performatively. That's what I'm asking people to do, because grief is a sacred thing. And if you're going to say, yeah, it's really sad, does that make you feel better, or are you adding to something? I want grief is a wonderful thing if people are authentic about it. That's what I'm saying.
Well, we don't honor it enough, and
I agree.
At least in my country. I don't know about other cultures.
No, I totally agree. I've had a problem with social media grief porn for a while, as you can tell.
Yeah, a little triggered.
It's not even that I'm triggered. It's just I feel like there's so much fakery going on. That we all have to kind of toe the line and don't ruffle feathers. It's all very performative.
I just scroll on by, whatever.
But no, that's exactly what I'm not talking about. People don't scroll on pie. People will have a comment.
No, I mean, when I see people, that, I'm just like, okay, that's their journey. Good journey.
Let's do the show. What else are we talking about? No, you just went off. I love
it.
You're going to blame me for going off on this, but it was just something completely unrelated. Let's talk about y'all, we're doing a new thing in our Facebook group, the Sissy Squad, where we're doing a new charity every month. If you're not in our Facebook group, join. Just if you're not on Facebook, just make up a name. Call yourself Donna Down for Dicks, like we had a member do.
Exactly.
And the charity we're doing this month is Black History Month, so we're doing a group called Black Girls Code. And they're based out of San Francisco, and they're teaching young Black women to be more involved with technology and STEM, to be the forefront of the next generation as far as tech goes. So if you're on our Sissy Squad, you can donate to that probably soon. I think after this episode is live, probably.
It's already up, isn't the code to donate? Jordana.
No, it's up after this episode. It is now that we're talking about it. It is up now.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah. Even if you're not in the Sissy Squad, you guys check out Black Girls Code. It's a great organization.
We also are doing y'all for a Bi Curious next week in the Gatreon. We're going to be doing HBO House of Ho. We don't know which episode yet.
HBO Max.
HBO Max, yeah. I forgot about the Max part. So we got that coming up. We've got an interview with Kevin from Bling Empire. We're going to be recording that tomorrow.
Thursday. Okay, no. So because today is Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah. It's all
I'm doing quote fingers.
Tuesday.
I'll never be able to understand when we record from when
we're gonna
things
drop. We're going to have to put a big sign for both of us. You for dates, me for names, because especially
for
when I'm
everything
around,
else,
I get nervous with names. So we're gonna have that coming up, and and so a lot of big stuff coming up. So, well, fun February. Y'all don't forget, we had Margaret Cho on the show. If you don't have anything for Valentine's Day, Margaret Cho is doing. You can ask her. It's like Margaret Cho After Dark, I believe, and you can
After Hours.
Yes, you can go to Margaret's website and you can sign up for a ticket for that, and you can ask her sex advice questions.
Sex advice. It's
she's sex positive.
There's she's doing some stand up material on that, but if you don't have anywhere to go on Valentine's Day, which if you're like California, you're probably going to be home. Just do that.
Just do that.
I think that's about. Our new y'all. We're dipping our toes into the Bravo pool this week with the premiere of Summer House. Bravo Summer House. We're talking to Kyle. We're talking Carl. We're talking Amanda. We're talking Hannah. We're talking Paige. We're talking about that gay guy. I can't remember his name.
Floating in the pool.
But we're going to be doing, that's going to be on our $8 level of the Patreon. We're going to put the first two episodes on our free feed so you can hear us talk about those hot people getting drunk and trying to fuck each other.
Which is our 20s. Let's be honest, our 30s.
No, that was my 30s. And you know what? If I could do it right now, I would. Oh, yeah.
It's all you want to do right now, and you can't.
All I want to do is suck some cock. I'm not got a feeling I'm not the only one. That's a great song. Remember the first time you heard Sheryl Crow?
Go down on him on Santa Monica Boulevard.
You know, the thing about it is, I'm going to say something that may be controversial. Sheryl Crow's a terrible singer. I saw her live. The pitch was bad. The vocals were bad. Her styling and her delivery was great.
You know what? She had a date, Lance Bass. Be nice to her. She went through a lot of shit.
As a vocal coach.
She was an asshole.
The pitch was really bad.
Yo, Lance Bass cheated. He cheated.
Lance Armstrong.
Lance Bass is a very nice person.
I would love you to do the show solo, and you'd have so many corrections.
Lance Bass, I retract. That's a very nice person from NSYNC, and he's also gay, so I don't think he would date Sheryl Crow.
Lance Bass, if you want to come on the show, you can. We're going to come for you, though, especially about finding Prince Charming.
I met him once. He was very nice. My friend said, go talk to him. I'm so nervous. Go talk to him for me. And he made me go fan and talk to him when I didn't care at all.
And what was he like to you?
Oh, he was very nice. He was just like, I actually said, my friend just wanted me to come up to you. He's nervous. He's such a big fan of yours. And he was just kind of like, oh, thanks. That's so nice. And he was.
Do you ever have any solo lines in any NSYNC songs?
I mean, I was like, this was not the time. This was at a Brian Singer pool party. Come on.
Say no more. Did you just drop a name?
No, not a good name. Meaning that's a terrible thing to go. And a friend made me go. And I left early. And he was like, whatever.
Can we talk about the show?
I've just been waiting.
Oh, how dare you. You went on and on about fucking Screech.
All I said was he died, and you went on a tirade about your thing. So.
Grief porn.
Oh, don't say that word anymore. We should tell people at the beginning, every time Poodle says grief porn, you have to drink. And they're going to be drunk fucking 23 minutes into this show.
It's a serious problem on social media.
Okay, we talked about it. All right, let's talk about Brandon and Julia.
All right, y'all. Brandon is going to dinner with his parent. He's meeting his parents at a Mexican restaurant, La Areola something.
El Arriero.
Adio. Yeah.
Arriero. That's what I wrote. What does that mean?
Can you spell it and I'll help you pronounce it?
A-R-R-I-E-R-O. Arriero.
El Arriero.
Why was there a Y?
The I becomes the Y.
Arreo. Oh, okay.
I think so.
What does that mean? I was typing quickly. I could have misspelled it. What was that, Dice? What does El Arreo mean?
I think you're still saying it wrong. Can you type it for me? Can you say it again? A-R-R-E-I-O?
A-R-R-I-E-O-I.
Do it again slowly so I can put it in my head. A-R-R-I?
A-R-R-I-E-R-O.
Arriero.
Arriero. Oh, I think it means a mule driver.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, because.
An ass driver.
Poodle, I know a thing about that. In there.
That's what they called me in college.
Hee-haw. Hee-haw.
So, anyway, he's waiting for his parents. His parents are already ordering. And Ron says, at a Mexican restaurant, says, I'm going to have the wings only. And the waiter's like, sure. We'll bring you some chicken wings at a restaurant that is mostly Mexican food.
Sure.
And so Brandon comes in. And all I can think of is he kind of starts talking. And it's like, so, blah, blah. I feel I should tell you. I'm like, this is not how you break news. You eat your food first. Everyone knows this. Then you get a free dinner. This is stupid.
Maybe he just wanted to get it done. He couldn't handle it.
No. That's not how you do dinner revelations.
It's pretty dumb. You do it with like a dessert or...
Yeah.
You tell them something sour when they have something sweet in their mouth.
Exactly. So he's like, I think we need to leave. And Betty starts going, no. And basically hugging herself. It's really weird.
He acts like when someone's child dies in a Lifetime movie and they're holding him.
No,
like, come back to me.
No, 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 no,
no, no. That's totally how she acts.
And so the dad is like, well, what's the problem? What's wrong with it? So
Dawn becomes super aggro.
Aggro's really quickly. And yes. He's like, well, it's kind of the animals. That's not the problem.
That's not the problem at all.
Not the problem. And then dad starts like, well, you think you can afford an apartment? Evil laugh.
This is a stupid decision. Don't you want to start your life out right, son? I'm like, what? He didn't rob a liquor store. He just wants to move to his own apartment.
Also, memo, he started his life now. You're hindering him. That's it. So the parents, Betty's like, if it's something specific.
Don't make a stupid decision, son.
I feel like they're both failed actors. Like, that's what I took away from that. Well, like, they both want to be in, like, some community theater production of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
I kind of think that, too, because I felt like this was, y'all, we've heard that Betty is super cuckoo for Brandon. However, did we see an actual tear once?
Oh, no, she tried. She tried her best to cry.
I thought it was so fake. I thought the whole thing was, now, do I think it's rooted in truthness? I almost said truthiness.
In truth.
Yes.
The state of being.
I do think it's rooted in truth, but definitely overplayed.
She just said, all I try to do was do the right things and love you. Now, she's a fucking amateur, y'all, because Mother Poodle would have done that to me, which she said to me before. There would have been tears streaming from her cheeks because she's talented like
what
that.
What would Mother Poodle have you said? You said, Mom, my partner and I are moving out of the house because they don't want to live there anymore.
Oh, it's about time.
Because your mother has realistic expectations.
Well, I think we're not. You know what? She would, even if she wanted us to stay, she would have said, well, I think that's, you know, that sounds good. And then later on, she's like, well, I will miss you around the house. I will miss you. Blah, blah, blah. But I think it's going to be so good what you're doing. You're going to have to get, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'll miss you, though. So she would both give me a treat and then take it away the entire time.
Classic.
This was straight up crazy.
It was crazy. And honestly, pardon me, Brandon's such a dick. He's such a dick because he completely throws Julia under. He even said, well, she's not giving me a choice. It's either that or she's going. I have
yeah,
to.
Yeah, he puts it on her, which sucks.
But she should have said, look, I talked to Julia, and as a couple, we think we're going to be happier if we don't live here. That's the way we feel.
And Dad's like, you're the man of the family, son. You're the man of the family.
Don't tell him. He's a man. You're the man. You're the man. Yeah, and she's like completely, and she
fucking loses it. It's just so weird. It's like,
then when Betty says, what is it specifically? Brandon says, I think it's the neediness of my mother.
And then she's like, why would you say that?
It's so.
He goes, and they bring the food, and the dad's like, I'm not even hungry now.
That's what happens like, when you drop news early.
And guess what? Bitch was probably snacking on those chicken wings 10 minutes after that happened.
10 minutes after crew. Because, again, Betty brings up, we really wanted to pass the farm to you. Brandon doesn't bring up, I don't want to do the farm.
Right.
I don't want to do any of this. I'm using her as my escape out. And Dawn gets really like, you need to sit down and talk to her.
You need to tell her because you're the man of the house. You need to tell her what you're going to do. What an asshole.
What an asshole. And she's just crying and crying.
She's from the 50s. Like, who talks this way?
I don't know. It's really gross.
Brandon says, well, maybe if we can make a compromise, if we could stay in the same room so we could bang every night. And then Mom kind of like, oh, and Dad's like, absolutely
no one's,
I will have complete control over your fiance's body.
That's what I heard.
It's so fucked up. There's this there because keeping them from having sex, their his boy from having sex with his fiance is some kind of weird power trip that they get off on. It's fucked up. And he's like, absolutely not. We're not going to do that. They have to have respect.
Weird because you would think that, and I mean this in a fine way, y'all. We've heard, and it's almost pretty much confirmed that Brandon's parents are swingers, which is great. That's fine.
Do what you want to do.
But you would think a
you'd be more open minded,
About sex, and like, sure,
but they're QAnon on crazies and doomsday preppers too. So that's
Just so odd.
I think the craziest thing about this whole situation is we actually have, if you guys, it was quite prominent in the shot of them there. There were these lovely, a red and green chili pepper with smiling faces sitting there in the shot, the kind of being a festive reminder of we were at a Mexican restaurant. Uh-huh. We actually have them here tonight.
Yes. Their names are Bernie and Yerny. Bernie and Yerny. Because they thought they were going to be Sesame. They auditioned for Sesame Street. They didn't make it.
We weren't ready for two Latino chili peppers at the time. But now we are.
But now there's Bert and Ernie. And they're like,
they missed their chance. So their chance. Bernie and Yerny. On in here. Get on in
Bernie
here.
Bernie and Yerny.
You can share my mic. thank you for having us on. I wanted to talk about what happened. Sheeta.
We had tragic. It was tragic.
That's not the accent we talked about, but sure.
Sometimes when I get excited, it gets a little bit. Hello. I am better now. Okay. I just to slap myself. I am back. I have multiple personalities.
So they come in. Gringa sent salsa back 3 times because it's too spicy. That's all you need to know.
And then she said the chips were too hot.
Exactly.
She's what I call a bitch.
She's got a problem with everything. So Esteban, waiter comes.
I would like for her to wear some concealer too.
She looks like she's got hair like abuela.
Uh-huh.
Hair like abuela. You know what he's talking about? So she walks in. She also, Esteban waiter bring her food. She says, thank you, amigo. Can you believe that shit? She's called him amigo. That's some gringa shit.
That was some racist shit. Sorry, when I get angry about racism, I lose my accent.
We had this talk that you were going to try to stay in your own personality. That's fine. Anyway, so they shout. The old white hair starts shouting at the young guy.
What did they shout, Bernie?
They say things like, they say things like, you gotta be man. You gotta be man of the house. He's sitting there not eating his chicken wings. Can you believe that? We have someone to order chicken wings? Never. Never had nobody order them chicken wings. Those are frozen.
They are frozen. I saw under the table, and I noticed when mom touched the son's hand, son got, como se dice, boner.
I don't know why you're saying como se dice when it's your language, but that's okay.
It was weird.
She took out her boob later, her titty. And then she breastfed him. It's kind of weird, too. I was kind of weird out.
The cameraman vomited. He promptly vomited.
Yeah. Pero, it's not what I want to see.
No.
We got to go take a bus to Van Nuys. We got people waiting on us.
Margarita's $5. Come and see us.
Thank you for having us. Wow. That was just... You know, one was seemed very authentic. The other was just going in and out.
We might get letters again. I don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, we're just
true. You know what? They were living their truth as cartoon chili peppers.
I think Yerny hadn't talked in the higher voice yet, so didn't realize. Yeah.
Don't know if that really counts as the accent, though.
I know it.
Even though I think we tried to vet Yerny's accent earlier and it didn't really work. Should have listened to Ernie, whatever it is. Anyway, that was dumb. That was so dumb. So there, but basically at the end, Ron's like saying, well, is this we're going to compromise now? I don't want to compromise. So that means every time we're going to do whatever she wants to do. Y'all think how ridiculous this is. So they compromise with saying she can stay in his room and she doesn't do anything with the animals. That's normal. That's fucking normal.
That's what should have happened. That's what should have happened.
It hurts my head to think about this.
I know. I know.
Later on, he's like, can't wait to tell Julie about the news. So they're going to play billiards.
Play billiards. Playing some pool, y'all, in a bar. And again, I keep thinking Black Velvet's going to start playing at any moment. And Rebecca's going to walk in, but it doesn't.
With Peg.
So they're playing pool. And Brandon basically is like, hey, he gives her a drink. And he said, as Brandon said to the camera, he's like, I told them about Julia's ultimatum. So that's shitty right there. But he basically says, how would you like to live in this? How would you feel about living in the same room with no animals?
She's like, no. And then he convinces her and she's like, no, for a very short time, I will do it.
And what is so kind of gross is that she gives in because she's like, he fixed, little fix.
He'd be a man.
Congratulations, Brandon. You are so brave. You're so strong to throw your fiance under the bus and be a man.
The amount of fixation with manhood in this storyline really grosses me out.
I'm over it.
Because dad's like got such toxic masculinity that it's like revolting. And hit and Brandon and Julie has encouraged Brandon to be a man. And like, what is Brandon is not a man. He is a boy.
He's a boy.
And a boy. Anyway, so, and he's like, so what do you want when we get home? You want to go do some crossword puzzles? She's like, yes. F-U-C-K, a word for bang.
Four down.
Anyway, should we take a break? This was long segment.
It's going to be a long break, but it are going to be a long show, but that's all right. Y'all, we will be right back with Tarzel.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist about me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Maddie, this reminds me. You know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment.
Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC.
Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreaux!
They said next time it would be a $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cup my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men.
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze.
Y'all, that music means it's time for Tarzel. Daughter of Tevye from Peddler on the Roof. She has a hump.
We thought five, but realized it's six.
No, we thought it was. I forgot there were two younger daughters, Shrenta and Bielka. Because I never worked with people with cat. I've seen the show, but I always forget about them because they're the youngest and they don't sing that much. I'm more worried about the singing actors.
If you're in a show with Poodle, you better sing or he'll forget you.
If you don't have lines, I and singing, I can really can't. The girls actually have lines, but I can barely remember you.
Barely.
I'm like, what's your name again? I'll remember before opening night. So Tarzel, y'all. They are on the web looking, and it's basically like matchmaking app, yeah. Make me a match.
Well, first of all, they have COVID.
Buy me a girl.
Yeah, I almost wish that, like, 90 Day, I just want to say something. 90 Day does, like, a little bits of, like, he's like, whoa, we production halted for 2 weeks, we're quarantined. Who gives a shit? Like, we all know this. We all know they're in quarantine because right. Maybe just because I won an escape, I was just like, I don't need to see how you're all going through quarantine. No, just do it. We're all going through it.
It did feel really unfortunate.
Wow, glad we're putting more vodka in the drink.
No, I forgot. I was going to top off my drink and I forgot to do it. So I'm doing it on camera.
Wow.
Shut up.
Wow. This was the moment when we knew there was a problem. When I met Betty Ford Clinton, and she said, Maddie, when did you know? Well, February 1st. I'll never forget it because that's the day that we ended up calling Griefgate.
Y'all, grief porn. Look at it around you. Oh, it is a problem.
Oh, my God.
So y'all, basically,
I bet your mother, when you were a child, she knew that if she brought up certain topics about you, you would never stop talking about it. And so would she whisper about things behind your back?
No, it's just you passive aggressively say little things, to get digs in and you don't think
I'm aggressive. I don't passive aggressively. I'm just saying we talked about it. No, I think it's funny. Actually, I see you as a kid and your mother.
No,
y'all, Poodle and I asked a lot of questions when we were kids.
If people bring stuff up, I'm going to keep talking about it. That's the thing. You want to keep letting it. You want to keep going to shame me, and I'm going to not allow you to shame me.
I know. I'm not shaming you. Y'all, you need to have sex. I'm not shaming you.
You need to be in like a fucking plastic
bubble.
Yeah,
you really do.
So... Tariq,
just somebody not even maybe sex at this point. Just someone
I'm just trying to move on because I'm going to claw your fucking face off.
Somebody to squirt warm lube on you and just pet you.
No, I would just attack them.
All right, let's talk about this matchmaking app.
So they're shut down. Filming gets shut down. They're like, uh-oh. And so people leave their house for since it's Virginia, they're only gone for like 2 weeks and then they're back again. I don't know if they're filming themselves, which I think that may have happened.
That's funny. Yeah, I think they're filming themselves. And so you guys, they spent, I don't know how they did this, but they spent not one, but three different sections of Tariq and Hazel just sitting on the bed looking at fucking match.com.
And she's like, is there a girl who will like me for real? Direct quote. What I find this storyline so irreparably sad sometimes because I can feel her wanting to have a girlfriend, but and I understand how she feels an obligation to Tariq for bringing her here at the same time. But the girlfriend is really what's getting her going. And again, I believe her when she says she's bisexual, but the boy, when she talks about having a girlfriend, it's this kind of release for her more than it is sexuality, because she even talks about her sister admitted she was bisexual to her family, and her family's like, we're not having none of this. So this is some kind of wonderful liberation for her. And but he's saying, well, you know, we got to have rules. And she's like, what kind of rules? And then he's like, well, whatever you want, honey. That's not how polyamory rules work. It's that everyone gets what they want. You put every thought out there. Tariq saying, I'm here for whatever you want. I guarantee you that won't last.
He doesn't want his daughter to know. He does say that.
That's his one rule.
He doesn't want anything to do with her.
And that is even making it more, in a way, and I'm not saying that's not a good idea, but that makes it even more shameful for Hazel. Because then it's something that his daughter can't know about. And a stable family, of course, would never do anything like that.
The way he said it seemed like it was like something dirty, like a dirty secret. Rather than just, I can understand, hey, we don't want my child included in this right now because they're young, and this probably would be confusing to them.
And I totally understand that, but you're right. It was all in the way he said it.
It would say it. I mean, it's problematic anyway to me in the fact that they still haven't differentiated the fact that, because they even talk about Hazel being bisexual right after they talk about looking for another. I get what they're trying to do, but
that's polyamory.
You're making it sound that bisexuality means that you will
engage in polyamory. Like that's
some
what
people
you do.
Think bisexual. Oh, they say bisexual people are just real horny. No,
that's not it. Or they're selfish.
Yeah, they just want to fuck everything. No,
I will say I dated two bisexual men, and it fully educated me on what I thought bisexuals were, especially I can only speak for men.
I think when I knew people that were bisexual, I think before I would be more gentle, oh, you're bi, but you're eventually going to be gay.
Yeah. And last people, exit of Gayville, as we would
often
say.
Talked about that with Hazel. And who knows her, if she, I, she's bi, well, so I'm believing she's bi.
The bottom line is at this, when people tell you what they are, just believe them. Who are you to argue with them? And that's something that's what they come up. That's what they feel they are at the time. You can't argue with who they are. Well, and that's not helpful.
I do think though, and you know, one of our sissies wrote a post about this in the squad who is from the Philippines. We talked about this before, but I really do think, I think Tariq loves Hazel. I think Hazel likes Tariq. I mean, it's hard to read for her because she seems so kind of closed off and quiet with her emotions. But I think she likes him, and she thinks he's. And I think this has nothing to do with her bisexuality. I think she likes him, and she wants a better life for herself,
right? And her son,
and she knows that he can provide that. And I think she probably thinks I'll be really happy with him. And
for her, that's an easy trade.
And yeah, and so I think that. So anyway,
I was like me trying to fuck old guys in my 20s. And then I realized it wasn't something I wanted.
And we're doing this show where you can't open your window because there's trucks going by and people yelling.
They had so much money.
They did.
I want to say one thing that Hazel wanted. She's like, I want to have a sister, best friend, and a lover. I'm like, good luck.
One person can't do all that very well.
Damn. I wish I was your lover. You're putting a lot on that one person, honey. Ooh. Yeah. Wouldn't want to be you.
Yeah. Oh,
That's not a ton there, but the dissonance that exists in trying to define this relationship is palpable, and it bothers me every time because I really do feel like I don't consider myself bisexual. I don't consider myself polyamorous, but as a member of the queer community, I'm offended at how the show is handling it.
Yeah, it's very, I wish they would say I'm bisexual, I'm attracted to this, and I want to be in a polyamorous relationship. Now, that said,
which is very different.
But that said, benefit of the doubt here. Do you even think Tariq or Hazel have the not education, but just the
emotional intelligence to do it?
Just even the exposure to know what
absolutely
that is.
Not.
Because
absolutely
think
not.
About people where we're from. They're like, they wouldn't know what that
and
even
they,
means.
And they tried to do it before because it was something that someone who Tariq was attracted to, a Thai girl. And so now they're going to try. And Hazel says she wants a brown girl. And so they're going to try to see what this is. If you, this is the one thing I've learned about, cause I've dated people who have been in open relationships. And when I say dated, I mean fucked. But the thing is the rules are very specific and the rules are very detailed and you follow the rules to the letter and nothing happens and everyone's happy. As soon as someone breaks the rules, that's when the shit hits the fan.
It's been kind of nice being the other person in an open relationship because you know exactly if the rules are good rules and they're a couple that's laid them out, you know exactly what you're walking into. And it actually feels in a way very safe because everybody knows what's going to happen.
Not for me because they...
Yeah, you ruin things. You ruin things.
This has happened twice, actually.
I just want to say, I've been with like four people that were in open relationships. This never happened to me. You're a homewrecker.
I'm sorry. They just keep, they tell me they want to be with me alone. I've got something that they want.
Jesus. Wow.
Shall we move on? There was so little about them. Oh, God. I'll be honest. This is really hard to talk about. This was really hard to watch this episode. And I've kind of seen a little bit on the internet today about it. And this was straight up abusive. Now let's talk about, and there are two ways to say this.
Abusive in what way?
To me, it's abusive to treat someone who is telling you they're pregnant and demanding to see you pee on a stick twice in a bathroom.
Yes.
That
I agree.
Feels icky,
controlling.
And it feels controlling and it feels gross. Now, she, and I'm not defending Jovi here by any extent. He brings up times when she did say, I think I'm pregnant. And kidding.
I want to ask sissies, like our sissies, come at us and let us, like, is this a common thing to, like, tell your spouse you're pregnant and go all day letting them think you're pregnant and then not. And then also too, just in the fact of when you already have as a couple have been through a miscarriage, we don't know when she was kidding about these things, but this isn't a defense of Jovi either. I actually thought he was pretty horrible.
Yeah, it was really bad.
But when he said, she like told me this before and let me think she was pregnant and Yara did not deny it. And I thought that's not something I would tease about.
Yeah. I feel like their currency and how they relate to one another is sarcasm. And so when they joke around like that,
that's not my currency.
Yeah. It's so really deadpan. So when something is super important, neither of them knows really how to talk about it.
Again, she told him she was pregnant when she was getting a fucking henna tattoo. That poor tattoo artist.
Oh, God, bless her.
She was like, bless
Jenna, the henna tattoo artist.
She was like, she went home and she told her roommate, Paulette, she said, Paulette, tomorrow's going to be my day. There's a film crew coming. I'm going to do the henna. And you know, I'm just going to freestyle it. I'm going to do my thing. It's going to be great. And
I'm going to wear my best fedora.
Oh, I'm going to get on that like crafting show on Netflix. I know this is going to be my audition tape. I'm finally going to make money from this. And I'll be able to pay you for the last 6 months rent, Paulette. I know it.
And guess what? It was the most uncomfortable 3 minutes on television that we've experienced all season.
And the most uncomfortable 3 minutes of her life. And poor henna tattoo artist came back the next day and Paula said, Paulette said, "Well, how did it go?" And she so, just,
well, she told her she told him he was she was pregnant, and he and said then, she's a liar.
And then nobody looked at my head at that. Oh, I'm gonna be stuck in New Orleans forever.
Yeah, she did wear a fedora that was pretty out there.
Bless her y'all,
New Orleans is full of people who are freaks who have come to the city because they don't fit in anywhere else, and that's why it's a wonderful city.
I want to clarify you when you say the word freaks, you mean that in a positive way.
Oh, I do. I totally mean it's a wonderful way.
That's what
people
you
mean. When I say freaks, it means people who don't fit in anywhere else. I'm a freak. This bitch is a freak. Y'all are all freaks. I will guarantee you. If you're listening to Reality Gaze, you a little freaky deaky. Okay,
you a little freaky deaky.
Oh, true.
Mm-hmm. You might have not had something in your butt, but you thought about it.
And you a little queer. Just a little queer. You would do it a queer.
Just a little. So, So she tells her that, and Jovi is like, "No, you're not." And he says, "I don't believe you." And at first I was kind of like, when they're outside, I wasn't mad at Jovi yet. Cause that's when he says, "She has lied to me about this and like teased me and led me on about this." And I'm like, okay. Yes,
we all thought that we're going to have a nice kind of reconciliation. We're waiting for it.
Now, I will say though, like you said, yes, what Jovi seemed to be was controlling, but Yara and Jovi, you said sarcasm. I want to take that step further and say, because I've seen this in a lot of couples, they treat each other like shit and they both get off on it.
Yeah, it's a problem.
They both get off. Like, I like Yara and I'm a Yara stan in this relationship. I think Jovi's pretty fucking gross.
But that's how they, quote unquote, show affection.
But Yara still does treat him like shit sometimes. And it's very
especially when she says, "Why do you like this? Your style is terrible." Yeah, which is very Eastern European.
And she attacks, like, they both attack the personhood, the humanity of the person, instead of just calling out what bothers them.
Yeah. So I think the normal reaction to this whole segment would be to like, "Oh my God, Jovi is a complete and utter nightmare. This
and
is
he
awful.
Is.
This is cruel." And yes, but I think what you said makes sense, that this is how they've established their relationship. And we're not team Jovi on this, because honestly, taking her in the bathroom, shutting the door and watching her pee on a stick is really repulsive.
You know what? It's the energy of it. If he was more like, "You're kidding me. No, you're not. Okay. I can't believe this. Come on, let's go in. Let's pee on the stick together. Let's do it again. I want to be a part of this." You know what made this feel gross? We were watching this and we're like, okay, what's going on? What made it feel gross?
She's like, "Where you were lying. Oh my God, it's one line. See, when, you were lying."
No, to me, what feels gross is when she pees on the stick again and she's pregnant and he just looks at her. He doesn't hug her. He doesn't act excited.
Yeah, that was
he
the
does
worst.
Nothing. To if that, and then that's when everything prior to that, you realize, anyway,
sorry,
oh, wait,
sorry,
this is fucking gross controlling behavior.
Sorry, I guess I'm sorry. I'm sorry for doubting you. That
this is the shittiest like, way maybe. To be. Like, I was expecting, I was kind of hoping, is Jovi gonna find out she's pregnant and be like, "Oh my God," grab her and hug her and say, "Babe, this is wonderful."
He doesn't. He doesn't have that in him. He's a piece of
horrible.
Shit. He's awful.
So gross. And he's going to be a shitty, absent father.
I'm telling you, y'all.
A shitty, absent father.
Jovi, Brandon, Andrew, all running neck and neck for shittiest person this season. Like, all in different ways.
All of them.
And almost every male this season.
Really, Zied, and we don't know Ryan well enough yet.
With the exception of Ryan, with the exception of Zied, because who else? Tariq, you know, he's what he is. I haven't been a Tariq fan, but he's a lot better than fucking Jovi.
I'm fucking better than Jovi.
So he finally does say, "I'm sorry." And he's like, "Well, I guess she really is pregnant. I didn't know what to do." And he's like, I'm not ready to be a father, but I guess I'm going to do it. And she's like, well, I'm not ready to be a mom, but.
Well, no, he said,
do it too.
See, this is a deal. This is where it both comes in. He says, I'm not ready to be a father. And she immediately starts saying like, yeah, you're not. Are you going to change your job? Are you going to do this? She starts going in on everything wrong with him. Instead
Which
of
is the worst thing to do with Jovi.
And him saying then later, well, do you think you're ready? And the way he asked it was kind of an accusatory tone. Yeah. And she said, no. And I thought, what a better conversation this would have been if he said, I don't think I'm ready to be a father. And she said, you know, I don't think I'm ready too.
Well,
hopefully we can figure this out together.
The problem is both of them are so afraid of showing any ounce of vulnerability to the other.
Yes, and they both want to win.
And it's so reactive. Both of the way they behave is so reactive to what the other says.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel like how Jovi acts is how I would act when I was like 19 years old. That's exactly how I would act.
Jovi does say, he said, I feel terrible. I feel terrible that I didn't believe her.
But there's no emotion when he says it.
He says it kind of like, I didn't mean to turn down that street. Boy, that was a wrong. I feel terrible. I turned down Chaparral Lane instead of Rio Dosa.
Chaparral Lane. Rio Dosa.
That's a street I grew up on, Chaparral Lane.
Oh God, I can't do this right now.
By the way, I'll post it on Twitter in the Sissy Squad. I posted a video of Stoptown Baptist Church, and y'all
Stoptown people. No one, if you just pronounce it correctly, people would know what it was. Stoptown.
Nobody says it. We say Stoptown. Nobody says Stoptown. That's weird.
But no one knew it had a B in it.
No, Stoptown. No one says stop. It's like where I'm from is Lone Grove. We all say Long Grove. It's like my friend Lori was just telling me. She's like, yeah, remember when I first moved there, we went to Walmart and they had all the school drink cups and they realized they misspelled Lone Grove instead of L-O-N-E Grove. They spelled L-O-N-G and they had to take them all down from the Walmart rack and return them.
It's because no one pronounces things.
Yep.
I can't. Can we move on?
Son of a bitch, somebody fuck me.
You're with that girl in Cancun. Cancun.
Cancun.
She wants you to go to Cancun with her.
Cancun.
I'm sorry. The way she said Cancun, I felt it in my spine.
It made me laugh every time.
Cancun.
Y'all, it's Stephanie and Ryan. Stephanie and Ryan. Ryan and Stephanie.
Oh, y'all, I will say, this is getting a lot messier as we go along. So we're going to focus on the funniest shit parts because she's a complete and fucking train wreck.
She's pretty gross, but she's so fucking, she's funny reality TV.
Who knew that he would come out more as kind of
I didn't doubt it.
Who knew? Who knew that Ryan would seem more reasonable than Stephanie? She's so awful. Oh, my God.
Y'all, she basically, they're in bed, and she says, last night was the first night we were together in 10 months. And she
10
says,
months.
She says, can I ask you something, Ryan? You know what?
Stephanie like from Grand Rapids.
I feel like instead of talking about this, this is better portrayed in a reality gaze. Theater.
Thank you for that. Instead, just doing percussion was a lot better than you trying to do it.
Okay, I won't do that next time. I'll sing with you.
No, I loved it. Please.
That's why I won't do it.
All right.
Stephanie and Ryan in the bed. I'll be playing the role of Ryan. Poodle will be playing the role of Stephanie. And see.
So last night was the first night that we've been together in 10 months.
That's good, babe. Great.
I brought this conditioner. We're going to condition your hair later. You want to condition your hair?
What's wrong with my hair? It's fine.
I love touching your black hair.
Okay. I told you it's weird when you say that.
I know. I just want to feel it all the time. It's kind of like a fetish for me.
I need you to get more non-white friends.
Why didn't we have six? Why didn't we have six? I was
tired, babe. I was tired, you know? I was working all day.
You said I was complaining about my arm.
Yeah, your arm, you had that tummy trouble. I didn't want to get gassy. I don't like
Here's the thing. Even if you like bang me for 3 minutes, it'd be fine. I wasn't expecting your normal four times a night.
You love those big hour sessions.
I tell you what, Ren, I wouldn't mind a quickie.
Oh,
I want a quickie.
But you don't want the full magic show, baby?
No, I want a quickie. Quickie. It makes me horny when I say the word quickie.
Can I have breakfast, please? And sing.
Cancun.
Y'all. I mean, it's just, who says when they're talking? I've never said to my boyfriend, babe, even if you just bang me for a couple of minutes, that's what I need. Not that there's anything wrong with that word. But it's just the way
it's going to increase our bonding.
I was watching just slack-jawed this whole segment.
Ryan's kind of like, I'm good. And she's like, she's like, but we haven't had sex with 10 months. And then it starts in, wait a minute. Have you had sex in 10 months?
How many girls have you been with? And he's like, I haven't been with anybody. First of all, bullshit.
I kind of call bullshit on it. He says, I'm horny as fuck and I want to have sex, but I don't. And I was like, but you do.
And anyway, he says, because I'm horny as fuck.
Y'all.
And that's when she gets in. She's like, Ryan, I saw your phone last time I was here and you were texting a girl who wanted to go to Cancun.
And he says,
Cancun.
He says, you don't trust me. I'm not arguing about that. And she says,
Cancun.
And then he was like, he's kind of like, you can tell something's wrong. And he's just sitting there. And suddenly, y'all, who knew Stephanie could sound even worse until she starts crying?
No, but she doesn't cry. It's like Brandon's mom. There are no tears.
It's kind of like when you step on a cat's tail.
I don't know what you're talking about. I just know that when you and I kicked you out, it was a really bad night. And your cousin Harris, he was really gentle with me. And he came over. And he wanted to know what I was doing. And he wanted to see if I was okay. And I slept with him.
I know. And that's when I went,
what?
Because of course he did. Because it's such a small like resort. He's like, all of my friends told me.
All my friends told me, you're not, yeah, of course I'm going to know.
She's like, wait.
It did make me laugh when she said, you want to, you know what? You want to know the truth? And I just wanted her to say, you can't handle the truth.
you can't handle the truth. You know what? You know what there, Flyboy? We have things that protect us, and those things are rules. That's my feel good man speech.
It's not a good movie. I've never seen it.
Fantastic. You're an idiot. So she's like, you know, would it matter? I can't believe you'll let me go all on with this. He's like, yeah, I forgive you. She's like, wait a minute, you'll forgive me? Did I tell you I let him put it in my butthole? Did I tell him I let him put it in my poop shoot?
Call me. They call me his Blanca Misterioso.
Anyway, we're left with her being shaming him for not being upset.
She tells him it's his fault for texting that woman, let's go to Cancun, That was what made her sleep with Harris, who's
You
hot.
Were talking that girl in Cancun.
Which I think Harris is on 90 Days. I got to start watching Bears
he's
All.
He's on Bears All. And
you need to
he's
just watch
hot.
It. It's just time.
And he tries to fuck Sean Robinson.
Get it, Sean.
I will say, I will be saying the phrase Cancun for probably the next 3 weeks.
That's going to be our new crab cake.
Cancun.
Basically, though, she did.
Harris
she blamed
very
him.
Bold. He's very bold, Ryan. And after I threw you out,
and Ryan's basically like, "Yeah, Harris is dead to me. I'm not talking to him ever again."
And what he said, I already knew it. And she said, "Are you fucking joking? Are you kidding me right now, Ryan?"
She wanted to have the big dramatic reveal, but it just wasn't happening.
No, Ryan basically says, look, I'm not upset at you. I forgive you. It's all water under the bridge, but he is written off for me. He's not even my family anymore.
Not even my family anymore.
He's dead to me. And Stephanie in her head is going, oh God, I was going to try to buy both of them. Because that's what this is, y'all. It's her trying to buy her black Jamaican man, and it's gross.
Cancun.
Gross.
I'm sorry. I just can't get over Cancun. I think that's all I have. Y'all, it was basically Brandon and Julia and Mike and Natalie and a little bit of everybody else this episode.
I think that's going to be a dramatic one we see next year with Ryan, because she says, I feel like Ryan's upset and he's not letting it all out.
So, yeah, no shit.
We see them fighting. She's chasing him like, fuck you, Ryan. Fuck you.
I will say that...
He just left. If he just went money.
I will say someone on Facebook or Instagram sent me a thing that said, there should be a Real Housewives of 90 Day Fiance, and Stephanie would be such a good person on it. She's like, and the guy said, with that wine slur, I've never heard the term wine slur, but that's exactly Stephanie has. Yeah. Wine slur.
Somebody said that she is Jessica from Love is Blind, but just 30 years later.
Totally.
Y'all, you know that Stephanie probably lets that cat drink her wine glass.
Like the dog. Remember the drunk dog from Love is Blind? I miss that dog. You know, I'll take some rosé if you're offering.
Yeah, I like a camera. Nay.
I really prefer some petite Syrah, but whatever you're offering, I'm fine with it. You know me, I'm an easy drunk.
Easy drunk. Y'all, let us know if Love is Blind coming back. That's the kind of perfect show
to film. It's supposed to be coming back. We're jumping on.
It was a year ago. We did it last February.
A year ago. Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't announced anything about it.
I am too. I want to see that shit. They're doing two more seasons of Too Hot to Handle.
Oh my God.
And we're going to have to do that just for the theme song.
Too Hot to Handle.
Well, I guess we're
gonna have to watch this show.
Watch this shit.
Anyway, that's the show, y'all.
That's the show, everybody. You can go to realitygatespodcast.com to find all of our show information. That's where you get your merch. You can get your Poodle Home Collection pillow. Come at us with your Valentine's cameos.
Hopefully, we're going to be adding two new items to our merch store soon. A sissy drew us, and I can't remember her name right now, but a sissy drew us. A doodle of a blind squirrel finding a nut, and we're definitely going to put that on the collection. Not the Poodle Home collection,
it was Sissy Stephanie.
Sissy Stephanie drew the blind squirrel finding a nut, and we will almost certainly be doing a Keep Going Queens or a KGQ.
Yeah, we're going to have that coming out too.
T-shirt.
Poodle wants some type of
I'm very specific about what I want.
He wants James Avery jewelry out of it. I said that's unrealistic.
James Avery was in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
No, you're kidding me, right?
I don't know James Avery.
Jeweler James Avery?
No, I don't know him.
Okay, well, there's a jeweler, a very famous jeweler, James Avery.
I don't know her.
And then he finally decided he wanted to get Kendra Scott to make the bracelets. And Kendra Scott can't do it either. That's a jewelry company, too, if you don't know that.
I don't know jewelry.
Which is weird to me, because I actually feel like one day you're going to wear
a lot. I know jewelry. I know I've had sex with a lot of Jewish guys.
I think when you get older, you're going to wear a lot of jewelry.
I could see it. I'll learn it then.
All right. Y'all, we call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for a good bang for a few hours?
If you want to go to find some girl in Cancun, you want to go to Cancun with somebody, you can do what you want. But first, call us.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.